your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. Welcome to another Tuesday.
We are back.
We are back.
Full on summer. Here we are.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We had a great weekend out in the sun.
We did. We did. And my freckles are in full display, can I just say? You know, after being a whole day at the lake on the 4th of July, and then I was up north all weekend, and we were outside all day on Saturday at Bigfoot Days.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, my freckles are insane, but, you know, fun, right? They're fun.
Of course. I can't say that I have the fun, but I think it's cool. Super
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, for sure. So we were up north this weekend. The Squatchers were for Bigfoot Days, and we just had a ball. We always do, so it's nothing new, that's for sure, you know. But yeah, it was really fun. We had so many people at our booth. Well, we have pictures. Tim sent me all of his pictures too, and there's like 100 of them, and they're like 10 deep at our booth the whole time we were there.
Oh yeah.
So we have more circles on our map because we put it up on the side of the building, and it was just a really fun day, and we had good food because a couple that we've met before up there who used to own a resort who now they sold that resort, and now they have a food truck called, is it the Singing Chihuahua? I can't remember.
Yeah, it is.
But they had the best food ever, and they happened to set up right next to our booth. So, awesome. They came over.
I was happy.
I was too, and they came over at 9:30 in the morning and brought us a quesadilla with this awesome blueberry salsa that had a little heat to it. Oh my gosh.
It was blueberry habanero.
Yes, yes.
Which I make habanero jam, and so I was happy because it really seemed a lot like the stuff I've made, and I was happy about that.
Oh, yeah, it was luscious. It was absolutely delicious. So we had food within steps, and they brought it to us.
Which I'm thankful for because the bake sale people didn't do bake sale.
Oh, I don't know what they were doing over there.
Is trying to tell me something.
Well, no, I don't think so. But yeah, well, that's what they said. But maybe, you know, I didn't.
Maybe you don't know. You don't need any more baked goods today. I think that's what the universe is saying.
You know, we didn't. I didn't wander around a lot, so I don't know. Was there any other booths that were selling baked goods? Because I really thought they said it was going to be baked goods there. But
yeah, that's what I heard. But I didn't see anything else, and I looked. I really did.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to tell. There's just every year this festival gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more people and more people and more people. And it's just, it gets to be insane, actually.
Yep.
You know, I'm glad there were six of us squatchers, six out of eight of us were there. And I tell you what, I think almost every one of us was busy with somebody the whole time we were there.
Yeah, it was really busy.
Yeah. And we sold almost all of our squatchers gear out, which was fun.
I was a machine.
I know. You were good at it, man. You were good at it. You're like, hey, you need some Squatchers gear. You need a t-shirt. You need a hat, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I wasn't being pushy. I could just feel the vibe of people that really looked like they would enjoy wearing some of our stuff. So
no, and you know, the most gratifying is it a thing of all is when people come up to the people came up to the booth wearing our t-shirts that they had gotten from us, either from Paracon or last year's Bigfoot Days or one of the Squatch Chats that we've had, and that did happen a couple of times or a few times actually. So you know, how fun is that?
Yeah, that's super cool.
That's
representing.
Awesome. Yes. Representing. Yes, yes. And then, of course, people wanted our new team gear. And no, we said no. This is ours only.
But which, you know, it feels kind of like we're teasing people with cool stuff that they can't have. And maybe someday we'll open it up. But for now.
We'll get a different one and then we'll print those. But no, people loved it. And they really dug the green shirts the most. You know, so I guess we got to do
more
green
next time. They're my favorite.
Yeah.
I do like those.
Me too. But I do like the gray, though, too, you know. So
everybody's like, what are you talking about? Go to our Facebook page and see us wearing our stuff, and then you'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah. We look, and the pictures are so cute. I tell you what, so the pictures of all of us, we just look like we're just so happy. You know, it's just...
We are happy.
You get happy just looking at those pictures. Even if you're having a grumpy day and you look at all of our smiling faces, you too shall be happy.
We will be happy, gosh darn it.
Oh, yeah, and we were happy. I mean, because we all are happy, you know, and it was just as fun to be together and do these public events. And you know, we got
to hear the stories.
Yes, stories. And then, you know, people who are trying to get into squatching, you know, and I know some of them said, you know, can we come with you guys? And I'm like, you know, I mean, there were guys that were, you know, people that weren't just, they didn't want to go on a paid one. You know what I mean? They're trying to learn how to do this themselves, you know? I'm like, yeah, well, you just never know, you know, you just never know. But yeah, no, it was really fun. And it was fun spending time with you girls. And cause we're never all together, that many of us at the same time, you know, we're usually, there's always at least two of us. And sometimes there have been, you know, when we go to our research area that's close to town, you know, sometimes we get, you know, four, five, six of us for that. Mm-hmm. But usually it's, you know, in groups of two or three, usually, you know.
We had six of us, right?
Yeah, six of us, yes.
Yeah, yes. We don't usually have that many.
Yeah, no. So for all of us to be there it was fun. You know, we just all work in tandem, you know, we are like a big machine. It's like boom, 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 you know. So, Ghost Dance is saying we're not going to start singing the happy, happy, joy, joy song, are we?
I'm thinking about it.
We could. We could.
About it. Maybe. We'll see.
I know.
You can only be so lucky, Ghost Dance.
That's right. anyway, so we had a really good time and we talked Bigfoot and talked more Bigfoot and talked more Bigfoot. But, you know, one of the things that I had a couple of guys, it was the guy with the camera. Did you see him? Because he was there last year. He's been there every year.
Yeah.
And he came up and they were talking about other cryptids. And I told him about, because I was looking frantically for that picture of the goat man, you know, that we had. And finally I found it. And when I find, because they hung around for quite a while. It took me a while. Well, because then other people came, you know, Mike Hexum came and whatever. And I was kind of interrupted, but then finally when I found it, I went over to them and I said, I found it, you know, and they looked at it and every single one of them just gasped. They're like, oh, OMG, that is, oh my God. They couldn't get over it. You know, they had to take my phone and they really looked at it, you know, and stuff. And it was really fun, you know. So we not only talked Bigfoot, but we talked other cryptids too. And one of the people that came to see us again is a guy up there who lives on the reservation who had lots of stories, and he lives way back in the swamps. And he was there when that man told us about the winged creature with the human face. Right. And that's the man that told us about the dog man and the lake creature and Leech Lake and blah, blah, blah. And so I asked him, I said, do you remember the first year we met you and we were sitting right over there and that other guy was telling us all these stories? And he said, I do remember that. And I said, do you know who that was? Because this other person lived up there on the reservation somewhere, but I think north of him quite a ways, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't remember who that was, but I remember hearing the story stuff. And I'm like, well, if you ever run across him or, you know, come up with his name, call me, you know.
Right.
So, because I'm trying to track this guy down, and I think his name was William. His first name was William, but You know, that's all I remember. But I would so like to talk to him, you know, and find out, you know, here, find out exactly where he saw these other cryptids.
Right. You know, well, because so it would be interesting to get an investigation going.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, when we were up there in May, we were going to look for the, not the goat man, dog man. And then we got so involved with the Sasquatch search with Don Sherman that we didn't, you know, we didn't get to do that. But it's all right. It's all good. You know, we're up always up there doing things. And, you know, we kind of veer off to something else, you know, but it's all, we all find stuff. And, you know, Don Sherman was supposed to be on tonight, but he had an emergency and couldn't. So he'll be on in the future at some point. So we came up with the idea that we would talk about the UFO connection with Bigfoot tonight, yep. Because that's always a good topic.
It is a good topic. And it's actually going on in my world as we speak. So I thought it would be a very relevant topic as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you know, we just did the whole, Bigfoot thing. And so it's like, well, let's keep going. We're going to talk Bigfoot and other cryptids anyway. So we thought, well, let's just go with the flow.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. So, you know, as you know, there are some people who believe, you know, that Bigfoot comes out of alien spacecraft, you know, and that they're really aliens. But, you know, as we all say, we're all star people, right? Or we're all star creatures. But what do you think about it, Heidi?
Well, I guess I wouldn't have thought about it before, you know, in the past, you know, and I really, like, I always thought Bigfoot was a possibility before we started Squatchers, right? Mm-hmm. I thought, well, you know, sure, I'm open to anything, like, whatever. But once we really started doing our searching and investigating, and I really started listening to people's stories and talking to other researchers, and it's like, well, wait a minute, this is, you know, and then I was asking my spirit guide, like, what do you think? Like, what is it all about? And it's really, you know, something that I'm very interested in now. And, and same thing, I guess, when you think of aliens, like I never put a lot of thought into it before, but now that I've opened up to some of this other stuff, I thought, well, let me open up to that too. And, you know, in talking with my spirit guide, who I trust immensely. And, he's like, yeah, this is, or one of my spirit guides, he's like, yeah, this stuff is absolutely real and it's out there and it isn't necessarily what you think, but it's there, you know, it's real in some form. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then I started hearing these rumblings as, you know, we got more into this with UFOs and Bigfoot, and I started seeing articles and I hear people's, you know, stories, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I guess I hadn't thought about that. So I've been thinking about this for a couple of years now, right? Mm-hmm. Putting this together. And I still was like, well, I don't know. I suppose it's possible. You know, one of the things that I thought of when I started putting those two things together, I was like, well, why wouldn't it be together? I mean, but it doesn't mean it's only those two I'm thinking, because if you're seeing Bigfoot, there's something paranormal going on. Like, you and I are both researchers, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you have one paranormal experience, you're probably going to have other paranormal experiences, and not always in the same form, right? Mm-hmm. So then I thought, well, okay, if Bigfoot's around, why wouldn't UFOs be around? Maybe they're drawn to the place for a certain reason, or something has opened up that they can easily come in and out, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I was open to the possibility of, well, why? How am I going to know? Because, you know, you think of all these people that have proof or don't have proof or whatever, Bigfoot or aliens or whatever. But it's like, well, I don't know if we can absolutely say for sure at this point on anything. So why would I say no?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, well, I don't know.
Well, we don't know. And as paranormal investigators, of course, anything goes, right? I mean, of course, we try to prove things. But, I mean, we can never discount anything, for sure, until we have...
I mean, unless you can truly debunk something.
Exactly.
You kind of got to leave it on the table.
Yes. Yes. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, for sure. You know? But, you know, I think sometimes, you know, so people all take it literally. But, you know, a UFO is an unidentified flying object. That does not mean that it has to be a flying saucer or an alien starship. It could just be lights in the sky. Am I right? And they're just unidentified because we don't know where the source is coming from.
Right. Yep. And that's like paranormal. You know, we don't understand it. It's not what we would be, we would consider in the realms of normal. So it's paranormal. It could be anything.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Absolutely.
It just goes outside of, just goes right outside of the zone of what would be acceptable to, you know, I don't know if you say the majority of the people or what I don't know how you'd say it, but anyway, yeah. So I guess I was open to the possibility because I thought, well, I guess if Bigfoot can show up here, why wouldn't a UFO show up here?
Sure.
And then, so then here's where the topic comes up that I was like, well, let's talk about this tonight and see if anybody out there has any of the experiences of their own, you know, jump in the chat room and share with us.
Oh, yes.
Because I didn't have any until recently personal experiences. But here, I've been talking about this for a little while now. We've got another investigation coming up, a second go back to a house here in Minnesota that has had UFO activity, right? And this gal has had activity since she was 8 years old that she's aware of. She's had profound experiences that can be substantiated by another person that have the same like energetic time marks within these experiences.
Right.
And she is having activity again now at her house here. And so we're checking it out and I started having experiences at my own home that I can't explain now around some of the things that have happened that she's had. Some of her experiences. So I'm like, well, what the heck? Because I am not, I work, you and I, right, Steph, we have had case after case over how many years, and nothing, like, it's rare when I have a case that all of a sudden I'm having personal experiences that are related to the case. Right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's rare. It happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I have had paranormal experiences that are matching up with paranormal cases that I've worked over the years. It does happen, but it's rare. And I have not had UFO experiences, and I have not had personal Bigfoot experiences. I've had my fingers crossed for a long time. Yes, I'm hoping. You know, fingers crossed, I'm hoping Bigfoot experience. But it is weird that the day of the first contact with this client, first phone contact with this client, I have had both that I can't explain.
That's not odd.
I think it's really odd. And I don't believe in coincidences at all.
No.
I do not believe in coincidence. I think that that's a made-up thing for people that don't want to look at what's staring them in the face.
Right. I agree.
So,
I agree.
Anyway, so that's where I'm at with this is like, wait a minute. How could this case land on my doorstep, and without, because I work cases all the time, I don't think of cases in relation to my personal life. I don't. I disconnect, and I am home when I'm home. When I'm working, I'm working. And I don't have a lot of overlap, even though, yes, like, we're sensitive, right? We have experiences and stuff, but not case experiences. So I know I'm going on about this, but I think it's interesting.
Yeah. It, well, it is interesting. It is interesting.
And, because, you know, what are the odds?
Yeah. And this whole subject is interesting, right? It is.
Well, I think, yeah, because we kind of have to open up our eyes because or our minds, whatever. Because I don't believe in coincidences. So I see some of these articles and I've looked up online and, you know, we've talked to other people when we've been at cryptid cons and things like that. And, you know, you get the split. People either are on board with the connection or they're not.
Yes.
You know, and that's fine. I could go either way, but I, now that it's been happening to me, I'm like, well, wait a minute.
This what is going weird. On?
Yeah. Because it just, all of a sudden, so I know that this is something that the universe kind of puts in front of you that says, okay.
Right.
I guess it's time for you to look at this. It's not time for someone else to look at it, but it's time for you to look at this. So now it's on my doorstep saying, here you go. What are you going to do with it?
Yes.
So that's what is cooking right now.
Yeah. And you know, so we have, as squatters, you know, a couple of years, when we had our big, I should say, when we had our biggest experience yet, to this day even, you know, and it was, we were at some in the middle of the night up in the forest. And, you know, I do feel like it really was Bigfoot, but did I look him in the eye? Nope. Do I have any evidence at all that it was him? No. But just that gut feeling and all the things that happened, I just know it was them. But we had lights in the sky. And I'm not saying flying saucers, UFOs, that kind of UFOs. They were lights that we couldn't explain. And they showed up on videotape. So, And there was nothing out there. You know the area we were in, Heidi. So yep. it's very remote. There's nothing there. There's no residences. There's no homes. It is deep and thick in the woods. And we couldn't explain those lights, you know. And Kim has had that experience also, you know. And when she was up there with another gal and her husband was with her and they were down by the lake and he saw these lights and he said, "Do you guys have a flashlight or something down there, like a green flashlight?" And they said, "No." And he said, "Well, because I'm seeing them in the air above your head." You know, okay, so what is that? So we've had that kind of an experience. And we have had people who have said the same thing. You know, when Bigfoot's around, you know, they see these strange lights in the skies. And so one thought, you know, like in the documentary Paranormal Bigfoot, they suggested, the researchers on there suggested that these were like energy balls, like, or the fact that, you know, they feel like Sasquatch has learned how to travel interdimensionally and this is his energy, right? This is the energy of those beings going through the dimensions. That's how I understood it. Is that how you understood it as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it turns out they turn into some kind of light, you know, and then boom, and then they're gone, you know? And so then these light bubbles appear is what I like to say, light bubbles. So that kind of makes sense to me. I mean, mm-hmm. I can get that because we've always thought that he was interdimensional. So that totally resonates with me. I totally can understand this.
But I know
that makes the most sense.
But for I know you and I have had this discussion before where you're not on board necessarily with the alien thing.
Right.
Okay. So yeah. how do you explain, and I'm not challenging you, I'm just curious because I'm asking, like, because people see crafts.
Right.
So but then what?
But are they really crafts? And why don't we have more evidence of them? And yes, I know there's Project Blue Book. You know, I started watching that TV show, which I know is fiction, but it's based on the real thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, they explain things, right? They're like a paranormal investigator going in and saying, well, this is what happened, and this is what happened, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's based on some of the things that happened down near Roswell and in other places all over the country. But yeah, I mean, of course, we could explain away a lot of things, right? In paranormal investigation, we kind of do that, you know?
Yeah, I just think it's interesting because what if the craft can use the same, what if Bigfoot is coming from the craft? What if the craft is dropping Bigfoot down? What if that is the means of transportation that Bigfoot is using to get in and out? You know, we saw those footprints up north, right? Mm-hmm. In the snow that start mm-hmm. and stop out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe Bigfoot's coming in and out, not just through some, you know, doorway, dimensional doorway here on the ground or some extension of, you know, the ground, but maybe it's coming from above and dropping down.
Mm-hmm.
And what mm-hmm. if this craft is using this interdimensional opening to get in and out as well, which is why we don't see them all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well,
and, you know, so I asked a few people, you know, doing a little reconnaissance work for tonight. And so I asked three researchers this question this evening, the ones I could get a hold of. Two of them, and I won't say who they are, but two of them said, no experience. They've never seen anything like that in all their years of experience, and they've done it for decades. Okay, so these guys are not just done it for a couple of years. They've been doing mm-hmm. it for a long time.
Did they say if they believe it or not? Like, do they also not believe it?
Both of them said they have no indications whether they would, you know, there was not enough proof or evidence to suggest to them that this was a true thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they, in other words, yeah, no, they don't believe it. But, of course, they, like us, have to leave that door open, right? So if something ever happened, I mean, could it be? Maybe. But in their opinions, it's pretty much not a real thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, our advisor, and I won't say who his name is, those of you who know us know who our advisor is. He sent me several long paragraphs. And he just said, you know, he has an open mind, and he talked about the orbs and the lights and the things that we've talked about and the energy shifts. you know, and he talks about the reports of people seeing UFOs dropping Bigfoot off, but in his, you know, thoughts, maybe they're scooping him up, looking at him, taking data like they do with humans, and putting him back on the ground, like they do with humans, supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting theory.
You know, and he's, you know, he's talking about, you know, if there ever was a witness that were being in the right place at the right time and saw a Squatch being beamed back down, they would have no way to know if it was coming or going. So, you know, you have to leave the door open. You can't really discount it, which is what all of these people have said. But, you know, they feel like it's not a very likely thing. Let's put it that way. Because they all feel, you know, Sasquatch is more earthy, right? Mm-hmm. More earth-based, more earth from the earth.
But are these... So these are also people that don't believe he's traveling back and forth, like through dimensions or what? Like he's a...
Oh, I don't know. He didn't say that either. No, okay. I do think most researchers kind of are coming around. Although, you know, what's interesting is one of the native researchers here in Minnesota that I know real well, I asked him, and he's an Ojibwa, right? And he's an elder now. And I asked him what he thought about Bigfoot last winter when I saw him. And he... Instead of giving me the you know, the whole history of the Ojibwa people and how they feel, because that's what I usually get, which I love to listen to because it's the same story told a million different ways, you know. He said, he told me absolutely, in his opinion, that they were physical creatures living in the woods that were from an ancient, like an ancient kind of people tribe that have been able to conceal themselves and keep themselves separate from the rest of the earthly humans, you know, the rest of the bipedal people on Earth, which I thought was very interesting coming from an Ojibwa elder, because they believe that Sasquatch is mystical and spiritual and he's there to help them and big brother kind of thing, you know. So I thought, well, that's an interesting one coming from you. So, but no thoughts about UFOs. And I even asked them if they'd ever encountered those lights like we had. Because, you know, when you go up north in northern Minnesota and people talk about Sasquatch, they're always talking about lights. Always talking about lights. Mm-hmm. Whenever they see Sasquatch, they see lights. Unidentified lights. Not to be confused with flying saucers and alien starships. I mean, I'm just saying lights. Strange lights in the woods. They associate with Sasquatch. And because our team had the same experience, I can't discount that. But I do like the whole theory of in the Paranormal Bigfoot documentary where they talked about the energy and the, you know, going from dimension to dimension, and that, you know, they found a way to transfer their energy to do that. And then it comes out as lights, you know, either coming or going, you know. I mean, that makes the most sense to me. Mm-hmm. But,
I wanted to keep commenting, and we have a couple comments in the chat room, but I realize we're at halfway.
We are. Oh, gosh, this is going really fast.
I know. So we should take a break.
We should.
And we'll come back and dive into the chat room and keep going. But, we'll take 2 minutes, and we'll be back here on the Para X Network. It's the Gathering Radio Show.
Stay with us.
Geek ladies Sean and Victoria from Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal are at it again with another amazing season full of paranormal celebrity interviews with amazing guests and stories of haunted locations and so much more. You will hear it first on Para X. Tune in Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Central. You will not be disappointed.
To a ghost when their home is torn down. No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, but a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para X.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show.
Welcome back to The Gathering. This is Stephanie on the Para X Network.
And this is Heidi, and we're talking about UFOs and Bigfoot, and is there a connection between the two? And Stephanie, you've been doing a little questioning of people in the Bigfoot community.
I have. I have, because, you know, we're well connected here. And I just heard of one of the gals who's a BFRO researcher actually out in Ohio. And I just asked the question, plain and simple, do you think there's a correlation between Bigfoot and UFOs? And she said, nope. However, there are some similarities doing investigations. So who knows for sure, right? But she's saying no. So even though there might have been some kind of investigations, you know, maybe it's the lights. I described to her, the lights that we've seen, and she said she's seen some strange things too.
See, I guess I would have been on the fence before this investigation. Like, I would have thought, well, I don't know, I haven't seen anything, so who knows. But now that I've had this investigation start and it's been happening, mm-hmm. I can't say that it's not connected, because what are the odds? It is. I wouldn't even know. I don't know statistics in that way to come up with the odds of giving you any kind of number. But I just think it's almost impossible that this is unrelated, considering what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I can only say it because now it's part of my personal experience. So I guess I wouldn't expect anybody else to believe me. I'm just saying where I've come from now was before, I don't know, I guess I could entertain the idea, to now I'm like, it has to be related. Mm-hmm. Somehow.
You know, somehow, some way.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be. And it wasn't just me that has seen this creature. There have been other people throughout the months in, you know, at my house saying that they have seen this exact same thing that I have seen. They described it without knowing that I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
They saw mm-hmm. the same thing.
Yeah.
Exact yeah. description.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, well, how yeah. in the world could this not be related? Because truly what we're working on is a UFO case.
Right.
This was not a Bigfoot case at all.
Right.
Did not come up. Bigfoot did not come up in any of my discussions with this client.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Mm-hmm. But you know that area, and you've told me where it is kind of rife with all kinds of weird activity out there. Mm-hmm. You know,
not
just
not
Bigfoot. Yeah, not just Bigfoot, but also other cryptids like dogmen and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're kind of all over out there. So yeah, interesting. Very interesting. And, you know, we talk about that trail of prints that we found in the snow up in the Chippewa forest. And then, yeah, it was just like, they disappeared. And we walked through the snow a long way to see if we could come to another trail. And it was, and I remember we all looked up. It was funny, because at the end of that trail, I think there were five or six of us up there. So that was a big number of us too. But I remember we all looked up in the sky, and it was like an opening in the trees. It was like a round opening in the trees. And we all looked up, and Karin said, oh, it's the portal. That's what we all said, jokingly. But, you know, I do believe, and, you know, a lot of the Native American people believe that Bigfoot travels through portals. And mm-hmm. I kind of believe that as well. And so that would make sense for the footprints stopping and starting.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, Jerry from The Calling is talking about how when he was young up near Bemidji, and UFO sightings were rife at that time, you know, and it was the whole Project Blue Book was just really in full swing at that time. And he talks about, you know, the footprints on Lake Mobile up there, you know, that were leading away from a UFO. And then they just disappeared with no trace.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of weird stuff up there too, you know, like Star Island on that lake up there by Leech Lake, or Bina, not Bina, Cass Lake. It's in Cass Lake, and there's all kinds of weird, they say, UFOs and stuff up there, but I haven't heard about Bigfoot on Star Island, though. So, interesting, but, you know, it's just kind of a crazy thing.
Yeah, I think it's super cool, because I didn't expect that this would be part of the case, mm-hmm. but now I've had one of the same experiences that my client had mm-hmm. without, I was not thinking about it. This was not even close to any of the days that we, the day that I went out to her house or that I had talked to her. And I had a hole open up in the sky mm-hmm. that was, I had never seen anything like it before. She told me about it. And then, I don't know, it was a week later, I wasn't thinking about anything. And I walked outside, I saw it out of, I don't know, what do you call it, peripheral vision, where it's up. Is that the same thing? I don't know. So it was like up, and I was looking straight because I was taking my dog out and it was dark. And then I was like, wait a minute. And I looked up and I saw a big hole in the sky. Like, it was blacker than the dark sky. Perfect circle. And I was like, what the? And then I'm standing there and I just kept looking at it, and it was there, and I looked away and I looked back, it was still there. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. What is that? And then it started to dawn on me, like, oh my God, this is what that lady mentioned. And then it disappeared. It was just gone. I don't know. It didn't close up. It didn't open up. It just was gone. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it for a very long time. And, mm-hmm. but it was interesting because the day I talked to her, I saw something out the window, go past the window. And it was like a large, it was a man-shaped figure,
mm-hmm.
but it was really big because mm-hmm. of where the leg was, mm-hmm. how high up it was in the window. It was too tall to be a man, mm-hmm. and it was all hair. It was fur.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's weird. And I was on mm-hmm. the phone with her, and I saw it happening out the window. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then mm-hmm. two other people at my
said the
house
same thing.
Said the yeah. same thing, not knowing what I had seen. I hadn't, you know. So then I'm like, wait a minute. Now this is weird. This is all happening after that, you know, we start investigating this UFO thing. Now I'm seeing this. And I told her about it, and she's like, no, that's never happened to me. I'm like, well, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
But then it happened again a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Someone out here saw the same thing, and I thought, well, and scared the living daylights out of them, you know.
Well, like, yeah.
Sorry about that. And then hearing things out in the, you know, you think, what is rattling around out there? So I don't know. But I thought before there might be some Bigfoot activity out here. I heard that vocalization that you and I heard a similar mm-hmm. one when we were investigating. So mm-hmm. I don't know. But now this whole UFO thing, and when I asked my spirit guide, I said, what is the dealio? Like, is this legit? Like, I asked what I asked first about the UFO thing. I said, is this legit? And he said, are you ready? And I said, well, what do you mean, am I ready? I'm asking if it's legit. Of course I'm ready. He's like, no, I'm asking if you're ready. He's like, are you seriously ready for this? And I said, well, that must mean that it's legit. Like, this is not in her head, or it's not a hoax or whatever. This is, and he said, just be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
This is different than what you've done before, and you need to be prepared. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, I think we need to listen to things. That's just like when we were up in the woods and we asked what all that energy was underneath those arches. And, you know, it was very clear. Be careful. Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you can't look around and investigate. Watch yourself. That's exactly what we all heard, you know. So anyway, so today on the internet, Tuesday, July 19th in Navajo Times, there's an article posted about a couple, a father and son, who have been investigating Bigfoot and UFO sightings on the Apache Reservation for 8 years. Did you see this in your research?
I did. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting, you know. So these two guys out there, Franklin and Dory, have been doing this for a long time, and they're talking about sightings of huge dark forms in the sky that move at incredible speeds and seem to occur in the same place and around the same time as sightings of tall, furry, ape-like beings. They've noticed some kind of a triangular pattern, with sightings concentrated in the north, southeast, and southwest portions of that reservations.
Yep.
So Dory has a theory, the Yetis, so they call them Yetis there, which is interesting. I thought only, you know, like the northern Klein called them Yetis, but whatever. Mm. The Yetis, although they definitely stand out here on Earth, are way less conspicuous than other kinds of alien that tends to be spotted on the res, which they describe as being reptile-like.
Yeah.
The aliens drop Bigfoot's down to do their dirty work, he postulated, and then they pick him up later and drain their brain. So does that mean that the Bigfoots are coming from them, or are they picking them up to begin with and dropping them somewhere, letting them do their work, and then they bring them back up, just like in the X-Files, and then they figure out what's going on in their brains and they drop them back down? You know, it's kind of interesting. I, you know, have my doubts, but interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, and that's why it's like, you could go a million different ways with this because everybody's got a different theory. If they have a theory at all, they've got a different theory probably than anybody. It's well, okay. So they're picking them up off of Earth and using them kind of like, you know, he said to do their dirty work or whatever. And then, you know, pick them back up, wipe their brain, send them back down to do something else. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting. Can I say it's yes or no? I don't know. Cause I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it doesn't feel right to me. I'm just going to say my opinion. It doesn't feel right from what I have learned from my spirit guide. I don't think it's their intention, Bigfoot's intention, to be hurtful or to do dirty work, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends on your classification of dirty work, you know.
Yes.
Dirty work to me seems something that would be harmful or to someone else or to get advantage over something or someone. So, and that just doesn't feel right. But I'm not saying it's, I'm just giving my personal opinion on that. I just don't know that they would be manipulated that way. But I suppose if it's an alien, they could do whatever they want. Possibly.
Well, and you know, so we talk about these lights associated with Sasquatch experiences, and there's a lot on the internet, there's a lot on the web about you know, these orbs, they call them orbs, that are associated with Bigfoot. So apparently it's seen quite often, balls of light, glowing orbs, that kind of stuff, which of course some people call UFOs, because, you know, unidentified flying objects are just anything in the sky, we don't know what the heck they are. So I don't know, I guess we can who knows? Like I said, there's more questions than we'll ever find answers for when it comes to Sasquatch.
Right.
Exactly. And I just really want to look them in the eyeball.
I know you do. I just want to high five.
You just a high five. Yeah, I know. Yep. And you know, the question was asked of us at Bigfoot Days this weekend. Well, what are you going to do when you find them? And I said, well, I'm going to look him in the eye. And I said, Kim wants to have a selfie taken. and Heidi just wants to give him a high five. So, see, we all have our little things that we want to do, you know. In reality, I wonder if we'll just freeze. Because they do say, you know, even the, like Matt Moneymaker, for example, said that, you know, that these creatures have the ability to just kind of freeze you, the humans that are looking at them. And so they're virtually, they are just frozen and they can't do anything. They can't take a picture. They can't speak until he gets away or until he leaves or she leaves the area. And they have that ability to do that. And who knows? Maybe they, you know, then they just move over into the dimension and run away or, you know, float away.
Yeah.
Very interesting. It's quite interesting, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I ever since this experience now, I look at it a little differently, which I would expect a lot of people would. You know, if you start having experiences that, I don't know, they're different than what you've had before, I would hope that someone would look at things differently.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, like the other thing that they talk about is, you know, one of the researchers was referencing the MUFON investigator's manual that talks about there's a review of natural anomalies that are scientifically explained regarding lights. You know, like they talk about swamp gas, which we know that's a true thing. Swamp gas does mm-hmm. provide these crazy things, bolide leftovers, and pockets of random burning gas. So, yeah, there's just all kinds of stuff out there that any of this stuff could be, and not necessarily, you know, lights from orbs because Bigfoot is, you know, changing his energy and going somewhere else, or UFOs. It could be many different things, and we just mm-hmm. don't know. That's the thing. We don't know. We can speculate all we want and yep. just bring all this stuff to the table because that's what we do.
Yep.
And it just makes for interesting fodder. It makes interesting subject matter. And it's, I guess for us, it's good to know all these different things so that when we're out in the field, which we're out there all the time, it's kind of good to reference back in our heads. And I like this whole idea about this UFO or this MUFON investigator manual. I think I'm going to see if we can get our hands on that one.
Yeah.
Which I bet we can.
You know, I'm sure.
We have
I'm sure
some,
it's out
we have
there.
Some connections.
Well, that too, yeah. So, yeah. If it's not so, just out there, I'm sure by now it's out there if it hasn't
it could
been
be.
Before.
Yeah,
but
it could be, for sure.
So sure. Mike in the chat room said maybe aliens are just the park rangers keeping an eye out for Sasquatch and protecting them from silly humans.
Maybe.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Let's do, yeah, for sure. And Kat's saying, what if they just sort of interfere with our energy? And while we're stunned, we just, and they just walk away. Yeah, I do think that's what they do, Kat. I do. When Matt Moneymaker told me about this, it was something to do with, you know, he said they have the ability, if they see you, to freeze you. So you're just standing there. So I wonder, you know, Reiki energy has kind of a weird thing too, right? So I'm wondering if there isn't a way that they just can use this energy of yourself and kind of wrap bind you in it mm-hmm. so that you can't move till they get away.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why there are no good pictures, no really good proof, evidence, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and one of the things that I don't know what show this was that I saw, but they had hair samples or something, and they thought that this hair sample, because it was from it had enough from an unknown. There was some from a humanoid type creature and some from some animal and then unknown. And mm-hmm. they were saying that this hair is, it changes almost like camouflage
oh.
based on its surroundings. So it's not like a color and that's it.
Yeah.
It has properties that shift based on what it's around.
Yeah.
And so that's how it can blend in so easily. So I wonder too, if maybe it, you know, it just moves away far enough to blend in with whatever it's around.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can't see it because it's shifted its shape through color.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
If we're looking at it as being here.
Well,
or can't
you know,
leave at that point.
You know, Native Americans have told me that they're, you know, you can learn how to conceal yourself in plain sight. You know, like you grab all your energy towards yourself. It takes practice, but apparently you can do that. And then people won't even see you. You know, they say that that's how little people disappear, for example. So, I don't know. There's just all kinds of stuff, right? But the, for sure. And I've heard that whole thing about the whole paralyzing thing, not just from Matt Moneymaker, but, you know, I have heard that in other documentaries and read about it as well. But just the way he described it, it was really fun to listen to him because he gets so animated. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But, you know, it sounds like the four researchers now that I've talked to tonight, none of them feel like there's a correlation between a genuine, like a UFO from an alien place mm-hmm. and Bigfoot. You know?
So, but you're asking Bigfoot people, not UFO people.
That's
correct?
True. That's absolutely
yeah,
true.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to ask UFO people what they think. Because there's
right.
two sides of this coin. So
that's
it'd be interesting
true.
To see what they say. And, you know, it might be if someone, because you and I are kind of. We're all over the place, right?
Yes.
We're not Bigfoot. We're not UFO. We're paranormal, right?
Yes. Yes.
So we kind of can slide around in the middle, I think. You know, we mm-hmm. can go a bunch of different places. I wonder if someone is hardcore Bigfoot or hardcore UFO, which we know people that are hardcore, right? That
Absolutely.
They're that's what they do, and that's it, and that's totally cool. But mm-hmm. I wonder if because they're so in one space that it's not – that doesn't –
Right.
Open up to possibilities. I'm not saying they're closed-minded. I'm just like, I wonder if being hardcore keeps you in that one place.
I do wonder
that. So it
would
be interesting to see what UFO people would say.
Because, you know, it would be fun, Heidi. We should try to do this. In the next few months, we should try to have another show on this topic and have one Bigfoot researcher.
And
that
a UFO.
That isn't like a whole paranormal cryptid, just Bigfoot. And then one that's, like one of our MUFON people that we know.
Yep.
And then let them go at it, and we can just be the moderators.
Because they'll go at it nicely with each other.
Right. But I remember when we had Jean Walker on, she talked about Bigfoot, too. And she talked, that she felt like Bigfoot was from an alien world, So, I don't know, right? But that would be a really interesting show. So I think we need to try to get that worked out somehow in the next few months. Before the end of the year, for sure. Because this is a good subject, and I think we just need to get a couple, because we're so in the middle, and, we have, everything is open to us. But, so here's the other thing, is all of these researchers, well, two of them anyway, for sure, said we don't discount anything. Could it happen? Yes. But at this point, they haven't been shown anything to make them believe that there's any correlation between an alien and our Bigfoot, Right. So, anyway, good topic, good discussion. This was fun.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And, Mike in the chat room was saying he has some stories, but he wasn't able to send them because he had to get in the car. And I was like, dude, I sent it in the chat room. I'm like, type them up and send them to us, email them to us, or put them through our chat, our Facebook Messenger, because we can read them later. Mm-hmm. Read them over the air in one of our shows where we're just kind of talking about everything that's going on. We can read those stories. So definitely send them.
Yes.
And anyone that's out there, if you want to send us your stories, don't have to wait for a show to hop in the chat room and share your stories. You can send us stories anytime. Just go to our messenger in our Facebook page. Or if you are friends with either one of us, just message us privately. And send us your stories. We'd love to hear it. And then we can read them on the air if you're cool with it. And if you're not cool with it, then we won't. But send us your stories anyway.
But so you can for sure message the gathering is probably the best way to go. And, we'll see it and we'll read it. And it's always fun. And, we do have like once a month or so, we have our little catch up with Heidi and stuff shows. Mm-hmm. So, we can catch up on all the subjects that we've talked about in the last month or, on new subjects and what we've been doing and what's shaking and, the whole nine yards. So, please do send us your stories because that's always fun.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So Kat's saying she thinks the interdimensional is too easy an explanation for how an animal can seem to vanish. Well, and I agree to a certain extent, but Bigfoot is really supernatural. If you're talking about Bigfoot, she's talking about cougars too, and they just kind of disappear. But cougars are very stealthy. They're like, she probably climbed a tree. I know one thing that I always look for in the woods now is I always look up in the trees.
You have to look up now. We've got them here in Minnesota all over the place. Not to mention lynx, which have been here for a long time.
Yes.
But,
and we haven't. Yeah. And we've found prints. I mean, yeah, they're
at some point.
They're very, they're all over the state now. So
but it's interesting. I'm going to side topic for a second because the interdimensional travel. I had a case that I worked in Hastings and animals were vanishing. Real flesh and blood in this dimension animals were vanishing because there was I don't know what it was. It was some kind of creature that had I would compare it to like a black hole.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Here in this dimension somehow got here, or maybe they're here and just they're all over and we just haven't seen them, but you would see an animal, like you could sit there and see an animal, and then it would disappear in front of your eyes because this thing was, like, gobbling up things in its path, like physical things.
So what was it?
I don't know, but the beings that were flooding up into this place that I investigated were terrified. I mean, I would be too, but I don't understand it because it wasn't eating like trees and park benches. It was just like animals, but you couldn't see it. So then I start thinking of the movie like Predator, where you can't see him, but he's there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I didn't think that. I mean, I don't think that's what it was, but there's all sorts of stuff to think about.
Well, yeah.
Because this could suck things in. Why couldn't there be something that pushes things out,
Yeah. Spit them out. So they suck them in and spit them out. Yeah. Interesting. Very cool.
I don't know. It just gets me thinking about a billion different things.
I know.
And then we could have a 10-hour show, but we can't have a 10-hour show. No. Actually, we're going to be done with this show.
I know. In just a couple of minutes. And, you know, you and I both, you know, because our minds start going and then it's like a lot of things come out of our mouth because we can't stay on topic because, well, what about this? And what about this? And you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, we totally get sidetracked and we go down like 4,000 tangents. So
that's right. That's right. But, you know, that's why we're fun.
Well, I think that's what makes us good investigators.
Yes.
I mean, if I do say so myself, I think it makes us good investigators because we always ask questions.
Yes.
And we keep our minds open.
Absolutely.
For the most part. I mean, there's certain things that I think I have trouble wrapping my mind around, but I'll get there eventually, especially if something happens that, like this incident, I think is just, it just opens your mind up. It makes you think you have to think about it at least.
Exactly. Well, because life's a mystery, right? Nothing will ever all be revealed. And I always have to laugh when people say they're experts on Bigfoot or experts in the paranormal world. Nobody's an expert. No. Nobody is ever an expert.
I don't know how anybody could say they're an expert. What are you putting it against?
I know, you can say, oh, I have, 30 years experience in researching Bigfoot. Okay, that's great. And you probably know way more than me, but that doesn't make you an expert. You know, it just means that you've been doing it longer, So, and so there are no experts in this field at all. And like you say, Heidi, the best investigators have an open mind. And when we start thinking about some things, our minds goes in 1,000 different ways, you know?
For sure.
So, anyway, well, here we are at the end of the show again, and wow, it's been a fast hour. So
faster than a normal hour.
I know. So
is that possible? That's another show.
It is another show. But hey, thank you all of you. I know we have a lot of people in the chat room, and they're still chatting here. But thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. And thanks to the troops. If you're listening, I do know that they do listen almost every week, unless they have something that keeps them from it. But we most certainly appreciate your listening. And we love it that you're on the other side of the world and you're listening to our program.
Yeah.
And, thank you for your service because, oh my gosh, America wouldn't be America without you. No doubt. And keep that third eye open, timepieces. Yes, absolutely. Awesome. So thanks, everyone, for listening.
And Sarge, thanks for producing. And Para X Radio Network, thank you for keeping us going. Love it.
Yeah, we do.
I think they like us.
They must, because it's been over 4 years. It's been 4.5 years now. And oh, my gosh, we just keep getting, crazier and crazier. But that's good. That's a good thing. So it's all good.
All right. Cool.
Have a good night, everyone. We'll see you next week at the same time, same channel.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.